So welcome everybody. We're very fortunate tonight to have Dr. Jose Feltes with us. As you received in the email, Dr. Joseph, he teaches in many universities, and he translated many books, patristic books from Greek to other languages. He teaches in Cairo and in the States as well. He can tell us more specific, and he's gonna we're gonna enjoy a talk today about the Holy Trinity. I know that the Holy Trinity is something that the mind has difficulty understanding, and I heard him once giving this lecture in St. George last year, and it was really amazing, so I hope you all enjoy. This one? Okay.
In the name of Father, and Son, and of the Spirit, Amen. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your kindly invitation to be with you this evening. That's okay. To speak about this topic, the Trinitarian faith is very important for us as Christians. That is the backbone of our belief. So we are Christians, and that means we believe in Jesus Christ. And we make this cross, or some of you have this sign. We always used to have it in Egypt as our identity, and some of you may have it here also. So what that means, that we are Christians, that we believe in Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? The incarnate Logos. But at the same time, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. When we come into the church, we make the sign of the cross, saying the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. So we believe not only in Jesus Christ as Lord, but we believe also the Father as Lord and the Holy Ghost as Lord. But we don't believe in three gods. That's why in Egypt and sometimes here, we add at the end of the sign of the cross, we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. It is a fact that we cannot understand God, because the word understand means we catch something. When we say, I understand what are you saying, that I capture what are you saying with my mind, with my brain. So, like, that is what are you saying? That is my understanding, or that is my mind. So I understand means then I hold what are you saying in my mind, like that. So when we say sometimes we understand God, someone may think that we contain God inside our hands, our minds, like that. But that cannot happen, because our mind is limited and God is unlimited. So how can we say that we know God? We know God through our belief, through our experience with God. So if I ask one of you, what that means for you that you have a father, can you explain me the meaning having a father? You might say, that's my father. I cannot say more, that's my father. But I can say more about my experiences with my father. He is my father. He's a great man. He's my role model. He is. That is your father. Or your mother. So you cannot describe in details this relationship, but you can describe your experiences with your father or your mother. When you have more experiences, you can talk more about your father or about your mother. The same is happening with the Holy Trinity. We have to believe in the Holy Trinity first to understand more and more about the Holy Trinity. So, what's important to have faith, and second, to have experiences. When you pray, saying, now we prayed, our Father who art in heaven, what do you feel when you pray like that? How dare you call God your Father? How come you call God your Father? We do that because we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And because we believe as Christians that Jesus Christ is the true God and he is the true Son of the true Father, so through Jesus Christ, we can call the Father of Jesus Christ our Father because he is our brother. But let us explain the meaning of the Holy Trinity. How can we say that we believe in one God and at the same time this God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit? So they are three or they are one? They are one, at the same time they are three. And we can give an example for that. What's your name? Samir. What's your name? Mina. What's your name? John. John, Mina, Samir. How many are there? Three. But they have something in common. What is this? Humanity. Humanity. The three of them are human beings. So they have one in common, but they are three distinguished persons. So as if I take the human being like that and shape it and make it Samir. The same human being, and I shaped it, make it Mina. The same. I take the human being and make it Zhao. So they are three, but at the same time they are one. If we apply the same example for the Holy Trinity, we can say the Holy Trinity are one in essence, which is the divine essence, and they are three distinguished persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we can assure that they are three distinguished persons, but at the same time they are one. But here is the difference between these three, and the Holy Trinity as three persons. All of us, we are part of the creations. But God is uncreated. God is spirit. So, because he is unlimited, and because he is God, he is out of time and out of place. But here, because we are part of the creation, we are limited by time and by place. So maybe after our meeting, Samir will leave. But John maybe stay here. So they cannot be at the same time and at the same place always. So they are limited by time and by place. So we cannot apply that for the Holy Trinity, because the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are always together all the time and everywhere, because they are not limited like us. Another difference between that and the Holy Trinity, that of course, we all love each other. So Samir can say to John and to Nina, sorry, I forget all of the names, that I love you, Mina. But he cannot say, I am inside you and you inside me. But the Father can say that to the Son, and the Son can say that to the Father. But what I would like to assist is they are three distinguished persons. I cannot say to Mina, hi, Samir, because he is not Samir. Or John, because he has his own personality. When we apply that for the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, we cannot say the Father is the Son. He is the Son according to his, what? Divine essence. But according to his person, he is a distinguished person. Why I'm saying distinguished person? Distinguished person doesn't mean separate persons. They are not separate persons, because they are always together, all the time and everywhere. But here we have separate persons, as I said before. But why this dogma is very important for us? Because Jesus Christ came to reveal for us who God is. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And because Jesus Christ came for us and for our salvation, he revealed for us the Father, and he gave us the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And he gave us the divine, or to partake in the divine life. And we say that we are Christian, as I said before, because we believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God according to his nature, and he adopted in him, because he took our human nature, united it with his divine nature, and they became one. So in Jesus Christ, we can call God our Father, and that is the true God. But more important for us, that God, when he created man according to his image and his likeness. So we have a prototype. Our prototype is God himself. God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have to shape our life We have to shape our relation according to this image, according to the Tertullian faith. So we have to deal with each other as distinguished persons, but we have to have this common relation. We have to have this common essence. Like the Holy Trinity, they are one in persons, in human, in divine essence, but they are three distinguished persons. So we have always to respect each other the same way, because we cannot mix between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So every one of us has his own personality. We have seen in the Gospel that Jesus Christ was always asking the Father about his will. Although the Father is not, or the Son is not less than the Father. The Father is true God, and the Son is true God, and the Holy Spirit is true God. But they communicate together. They work together. So we have a very good prototype for our communication. We can do the same, working together, live together. We can also respect every one of us as a distinguished person, because everyone is a unique person. And God gave every one of us his personality, his character, his gifts. So we can also have this model when we are in the church, when we are in the school, when we are working, everywhere. Samir said that we cannot understand, or it's difficult to understand, the dogma of the Holy Trinity. I think that because we don't experience the relation with the Holy Trinity. If we are working together as a team, the others can see in our life and in our acts that we love each other, we respect each other, we communicate with each other. We do everything as a group, respecting each other. So they can realize that that can happen, that can happen. And we do that because we believe in the Holy Trinity. We can do that not only in our church or in our classes or in our team, but also in our families, between son, father, daughter, and mother. Because everyone in the family is a distinguished person, has his own character, and I have to respect his own character, and I have to work with him in such wonderful relation. Giving an example for the others that we can do that. In the East, or in the Middle East, we make a joke, when we want to do not, we don't know or we in a project, if we don't know how to do that, if we didn't want to work with other people, we say you have to have a committee to do that project. Committee or group means more than one. So they don't used to work in a group. So they cannot have good results doing this project because they didn't use to work in a group. But because the theology or the dogma of the Trinity is not clear in their minds. I'm not speaking about the Christian in the Middle East, you understand. But in our Christian life, we have to express what we believe in our everyday life. That's why I'm always asking, what does it mean that you are Christian? You are Christian, so you have to express in your everyday life the meaning of your faith, the deep meaning of your faith. After 1 month or more, we will celebrate Christmas. Christmas means we celebrate the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, became Son of Man for us and for our salvation. Okay? That's good. He came to us to bring for us the good news that God became with us. That is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. That's great. So after that, we celebrate Christmas, as you know, here with a Christmas tree and the Christmas gift and all these things. But after that, we have to do something else. That's the meaning of the Christmas for you as a Christian, as the one who believes in the Holy Trinity. If you believe in the Holy Trinity, you should have another deep meaning about incarnation. That Jesus Christ came to save us. That Jesus Christ came to share us our lives. That Jesus Christ came to give a value for our lives. That Jesus Christ came to take our human being to unite with his divine being or nature. So the value of the human being is now very high. So you have to respect all the human beings because of your faith as Christian, as the one who believe in the Holy Trinity. Second, now, because of your faith in the Holy Trinity and your faith in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, you will be able to call God Father. You are not alone in this world. You are not orphan, but you have a Father. And this Father is the Almighty God. The Almighty God. You can ask him whatever you want. And he is able to do that for you. So you have to trust him. You have to love him. And you have to express to him what you feel, because you are not alone in this world. And that what the good news that Jesus Christ gave us when he became man. And that is what we celebrate in the Christmas. So Christmas is not the Christmas tree. Christmas is not the Christmas gift, but Christmas is truth. He came to make us to be able to enter this community, community of the Holy Trinity, to call the Godfather your Father, and to able to communicate and to have communion with the Holy Trinity as we pray in the third hour, asking the Holy Trinity to come to us, to heal us, and to sanctify us. That is because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because of our faith in the Holy Trinity. So, through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And we are able now to communicate, as I said, with the Holy Trinity, what they have, a divine life. And now, if we believe in the Holy Trinity, we can have in our mind this prototype of the communion of love of the Holy Trinity, so we can do that in our lives also. Not only to respect each other, but also to communicate with each other, communion of love, and to work with each other, and to respect the will of each other. So this is an icon, a very beautiful icon that God gave to us to imitate, to have it as background in our minds when we deal with others, in our families, in our schools, in our classes, in our church, in our games, everywhere. And if someone will see you dealing with others in such respectful way, they will believe in the Holy Trinity. You will not, it will not necessary to explain to the others what is the Holy Trinity, because they will see in your life what is Holy Trinity. And the dogma of the Holy Trinity will be easy for the others to understand. And in this case, it will not be difficult for the others to understand what we believe, because it is clear in our life. And that had happened in the lives of the early Christians. Some pagan, not Christian, in the first century, became Christian because they saw in the lives of the Christians what they believe. They became Christian because of the behavior of the other Christians. And that is another meaning to become martyr. Martyr doesn't mean only to be martyr or to give your life, but to give an example doing what you believe or acting according to your faith. So it is not necessary to be killed to be a martyr, but to be a martyr means to give an example, good example for the others. This is what I believe. If you cannot communicate with others, if you cannot love each other, if you cannot respect the others, you have to ask yourself about your faith on the Holy Trinity. And this is, will be a big challenge for you and for the others to believe in the Holy Trinity. Glory to be for the Father and the Son and the Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. If there is question or comments.
Any questions, guys? Okay, so I have questions.
Yes, Samir.
Okay, can I ask two questions?
Of course, three.
Thank you. So the first one is when Jesus says that he's speaking of the end of times, and he says that not even the Son knows about the end of times, but only the Father. So it becomes difficult to my brain to think that I'm thinking of the Holy Trinity as one, and one truth is being hidden from the Son. So this is my first question. My second question is, I think, is it fair to say that we have difficulty when we hopefully make it to heaven, just see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as three distinguished persons, because we believe that they are one in nature, the divine nature, but on earth we believe that they are three distinguished persons. So in heaven I have difficulty seeing this picture, and I don't know if it should stop there, because I know I am still bound by my humanity, so I cannot really see the whole picture. But is it fair to say that in heaven we're still going to be able to see Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ, or is it going to be the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ? It's something beyond me.
Regarding your first question, we know that when the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Logos, the Son of God, became Son of Man, he emptied himself. He emptied himself means he came to us, emptied himself from the glory. So he became man. So what he said, sentences like that, he emptied himself. So in this after incarnation, he was telling us according to his humanity what he was saying. He said not only that, but he said, the Father is greater than me. Saint Athanasius the Great, one of the church fathers in the 4th century, the patriarch of the See of Saint Mark in Alexandria, was teaching us, saying, when you read something like that, you have to ask yourself three questions. About whom is this verse? Second, when he said this verse? And third, the context of this verse. So let us explain what he said about the Father is greater than me. Who was speaking? the Son of God. But when? Before incarnation or after incarnation? After incarnation. Because after incarnation, he emptied himself. Because he emptied himself, it is proper to say to the Father that the Father is greater than him. The same when he said at about the end of the days that no one can know except the Father. Because he emptied himself also. He was speaking about according to his human nature. The second question, we cannot see the Father here or in at heaven, because the Son revealed for us the Father, and because the Son is the image of the Father, the one who will see the Son will see the Father, because they are one in essence. If I'll show to you a picture of me, when you will see the picture, you will see me. Okay? So the Son is the image of the Father. When someone will see the Son, will see the Father. And Jesus Christ came to us to reveal for us the Father, because he has the same essence with the Father. And sometimes we say the same here. When you see a son of a friend of you, and after a while you will see his father, you make a joke or you say to him, "Today I have seen you." Where? "I saw your son," because he is his son. He comes from him. He is the son of this father, because the son and the father have the same essence. And that's what we say in the Creed, that the Son is co-substantial with the Father. Co-substantial with the Father means they have the same essence. Yes?
And what's the difference between saying that and saying that it proceeds from the Father and the Son?
Yes. According to the scripture, we say in the creed that the Holy Scripture proceeds from the Father, given by the Son. In the 11th century, the Catholic Church added that proceeds from the Father and from the Son. But here we have the Father as origin. So the Son is begotten from the Father. So the Father is the origin. The Son is begotten from the Father. So the Holy Spirit is begotten, proceeds from the Father also, because the Father is the origin for the Son as begotten and for the Holy Spirit as proceeds. You got it?
Like when we say the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, like what are we meaning?
The word proceeds applied for the Holy Spirit because of the word Spirit. A I don't know if that applied in English or not, but you can say spirit. Say spirit. Put your hand like that. What you feel in your hand. So breath means ruach. Ruach in Hebrew and in Arabic. Ruach, spirit, means birth like that. So this procession proceeds. So you cannot say for a lady who gave birth to a baby, proceed. We cannot say that. But we say for give birth for the son. And that is suitable for the Holy Spirit to say proceeds, because that is the procession. Yes?
It says clearly it is proceeded from the Father. It didn't say from the Father and the Son. And as the doctor said, in the 11th century, the Catholic Church said, okay, but in John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. So it proceeds from the Father, then it should be, make sense to be proceed from the Father and the Son. But this is not biblical because it will mess up the meaning of the Trinity. So it is biblical words. It proceeded from the Father in John 15:26, and I'm and the Father are one, or 10:30. So it is just biblically this way.
Yes.
Do we have any?
Thank you. Do we have any examples or stories or documents from before the Council of Nicaea that talk about the Trinity in general?
A Trinity in general,
or yeah. the concept itself?
Look, we have in theology what we call history of dogma. History of dogma. Of course, Jesus Christ asked his disciples to go all over the world to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that is the simple way to express the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the believers believed in this fact, and the apostles preached this fact for the old Christians they baptized. But yesterday I was lecturing in Montreal about the creed. The creed, what we say today, comes from the first and the second ecumenical councils. The first ecumenical council, 325. The second ecumenical council, 381. The first part of the creed ends, we believe in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The second part, after that. But why they did like that? They didn't begin from scratch, but they had some text before 325. And we can realize that having the text that they used in two occasions. When they baptized people, they baptized them, asking them to confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord first. Then they asked them in more details to believe in God as Father. Then after a while, they have to believe in the Holy Spirit. So in the second century, we have many documents through the centuries explaining the Trinity. But in fact, you cannot find the word Trinity, like word, in the New Testament. But you can find the verse Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. But because of the heresies, the fathers of the first centuries, they started to explain to them in more details what the Holy Trinity is. What is the relation between the Father and the Son? That the Son proceeds, or the begotten from the Father, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, and so on. Then they started to explain to them what is the meaning of that the Son is begotten from the Father. Begotten from the Father, that means there was a time in which the Son was not there and the Father was there, as Arius said. They started to explain, because of the heresy, to explain the meaning of that. So before 325, we don't have the complete text as we have after that. And that's why we start the creed saying we believe. And may you know why we call this text creed. Why we call this text we recite in the liturgy or in our prayers creed. Creed comes from the Latin verb credo. Credo means I believe in Latin. So the English C-R-E-E-D comes from this Latin verb, I believe. So they started this text saying we believe or I believe. Then they said all the text. But that means that they believed already. But we put now in a specific definition because of the heresies, explaining every word, the meaning of every word. But before that, we have in different places some sentences, and I can provide to you in columns the items of the creed of Constantinople, of Nicaea and Constantinople, and what of these items have been used before, from the first century through the churches till 325. It's clear? Yes.
So when we say the Father is the origin, doesn't that imply that at some point in time the Holy Spirit and the Son didn't exist?
No. If you will ask me, are you a father or not? And I say, yes, I am a father. What that means?
You're a father. Huh? You're a father?
Yes. If I say, yes, I am a father.
Oh, yeah, you have a child, yeah.
If I'll say, no, I am not a father. What that means?
You don't have children.
So the word father and the word son reflect relation. I cannot say I am a father without having a son. I cannot say I am not son without having a father. Logic? Another question or comment? Are you going to promise me? Yes.
Sorry. Would you say that the idea of the Father proceeding, like the Son and the Holy Spirit?
It's not idea, by the way.
Idea, I understand. But like, this
the
teaching.
Fact.
The fact. Would you say that this fact?
Yes.
Would you say this fact reflects sort of in any way like a hierarchy? Because I talk to friends who aren't religious and aren't of faith, like, they always bring up the Trinity as if it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that order. This one's more important than this one controls this one, sort of to imply that they're not in one unity. How would you respond to that, and how would you say that they're equal even though there's one that preceded both of them?
It's a very good question. Thank you. What you say will be right if you are speaking about human beings. That when I say that I am a father and I have a son, so I was there when my son was not there. I have a son like you, 21 years old. Because before 21 years old, I was there, but he wasn't. Right?
Yeah.
But that apply for the human being only, but not for God.
Okay, so we don't work like obviously God would, because with people, it's a father, then it's a son, but that doesn't...
No, but from where we get the names father and son. When I have a child, the people will call me father. Why they call me father? And why they call this baby son? No, I am talking about the term, about the name, father, son. From where we got these names? Because God the Father is an eternal. So everyone comes after him. When he will have a son, he will be a father, like this father. But we got it, this terms from him. And St. Paul, in one of his epistles, he said that from him we got our names as nations. Welcome. So I hope that from now on we will be able to practice our faith on Trinity in our homes, in our classes, in our churches, everywhere, and to give an example for everyone outside Christianity to understand and maybe to believe in what we believe. And that will be our mission. You are here because you have your own mission. We are all proud of our martyrs in Egypt, right? And the entire world is speaking about our martyr in Egypt. But we have also duty, chance to be martyr like them without giving our lives, but our example, living according to our faith, and especially our faith in Trinity. Thank you. Abuna, you have something to say. But you will promise me, you'll promise me, because last year, you, Abuna, promised me that we will do something together. So now it's time, Abuna.
Last year, when Dr. Joseph was here, we had an idea to work with him. There is two ideas, actually. One, he had a lot of projects. One of them is like a translation and from the for fathers, or to work with him in that. This is one project. Other project is different. It's something maybe he can give us through internet, for example, like website, maybe once per month or biweekly, like a session about, for example, patrology or about any other subjects, for example, especially that Dr. Joseph, he is very specific. He gave a lot of lectures in many schools in Egypt or in the States or anywhere else. That's why we have now two options we have. What do you prefer? Because I remember that you give me an idea about some translation, you work on it, about the forefathers' explanation, we can say. Complementation, or
we can have a book like one of the books of Saint Athanasius, the Great, Incarnation of the Logos. We can read it in English, and we can simplify this book by making presentation or making question and answers for our kids in the church here. But you have to help them. You have to read this book first and to make it like an masrahayani, play or dialogue. And I have some experiences from Egypt doing this with other youth in Egypt. And they did a lot of work and a wonderful project like that. Or you can make it like, I don't know, you are more creative than me. But you have to read the book first. And when you will read the book and when you will finish the book, you will be able, oh, that's a good idea. I can explain what I'm reading in a different way for the kids. We can make a play or something like that, or a dialogue, or a presentation, or small messages for the kids with animation, something like that. But you will enjoy, I am sure, you will enjoy reading these books. And I can help you then. Or you can make a small essay about that. And, of course, you can use it in the church here, in the website of the church, about incarnation, about the Holy Spirit, about the Great Lent, many, 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 many topics you can do that. Okay? I can send it to you. It is online. Yes, it is online, and I can send it to you. But I think there's many, many translations in English. I can provide some translation for you. Okay? There's the one translation by Saint Vladimir. Yes. And there is more academic translation. I have it by one of the scholars. His name is Thompson. And I have it in my computer here. Tomorrow I can give it to you, Abuna. Okay? But you should promise me to do that. You will enjoy that. It is very simple one. And the chapters, very small chapter, in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, you can finish a chapter. It is, if you put it beside your bed every night, you can have a look in one of these chapters. Okay? And if it is necessary, we can meet also, Skype, and we can raise questions if you have any difficulties to read or to understand the topic in these books. So we can do that. But we have to do something together. Okay? Thank you.
That we have like a nativity fast. We are in a start like next week. We are starting the fast on 25th.
Abuna, as you do in the Bible study, you can have it in your even in your phone, and you can read chapter 1, chapter 2, and everyone can make a comment on what is going on, like Bible study.